What does it mean to be in fellowship with God? And how do we do it? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Welcome to the broadcast today. We're continuing in our series on 1 John, one of those little books in the New Testament that needs some explanation because lots of confusion comes from it. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to have a discussion on what fellowship is all about. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome again to Grace and Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we are continuing our study of the epistles of John. We're in 1 John, still the first chapter, going from verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 2. And we're discussing a really key part of the Christian life, which is fellowship with God. All right. This is not the same as being born again. Being born again is one thing. That happens at a moment in time. The moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you're born again in that second. But now what do you do? How do you grow? How do you really enjoy that relationship with God? How do you become spiritually mature? Well, 1 John has a lot to do with those questions.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you might think of this the way you think of a family. The children and parents can be in a situation where they're not really in a harmonious relationship. They're not really in fellowship with one another, so there's a lot of hostility. That's not a fellowship family. In the same way, a husband and wife may or may not be in fellowship with one another. The basic word fellowship means sharing, to have in common. In fact, the word is koinonia, and the word for the type of Greek of the New Testament is koine Greek. We get our word coin from it because it's common. Coins are the common currency. And so what do you share in common with your parents or with your spouse? If you share a same worldview and the same direction and the same love, well, then you're in fellowship. But if you're estranged, well, then you're not in fellowship. And the same thing with God. In terms of our fellowship with God, do we share His values? Do we share His perspective on life? Well, we do if the Word of God has taken up a key place in our lives.
Well, I think an important thing to say there is, just like in a marriage, you know, the day my wife and I got married, we weren't completely sharing our lives at every single level right away. It took time. It took work. We had to grow into that relationship. We're still growing
right
in that relationship.
Right.
And the same thing with Christians. When you become born again, that doesn't mean you automatically have your entire life aligned with God's will. It doesn't mean your whole life is just walking with God and you're as close to God as you could be. That takes time, and you need to know how to do it. And John is going to tell us some of the principles for being in fellowship with God.
Yes, these principles are ones I think we all need to pay attention to, because God's ways work. We may come up with our own ideas on how to have fellowship with God, but our own ways may not be effective if they're not consistent with the Word of God.
All right, well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5.
And by the way, just as a preview, verses 5, 7, and 9 have some positive statements about fellowship with God, but verses 6, 8, and 10 have three negative statements. All three verses, 6, 8, and 10, start with "if we say," and they involve false claims.
All right, so verse 5 says this: "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." So that's a statement about God's holy character.
Right. The root meaning of holiness is set apartness, that God is set apart from darkness. He's set apart from evil. As you know, in the Bible, darkness is the realm of Satan. It's the realm of opposition to God. And light is the realm of God, and it's following God and obeying God. So the way he's starting out here is that we need to be people of the light in our experience. We are people of the light in our position in Christ, but are we people of the light in our experience?
So fellowship with God is going to have something to do with this light versus darkness. We need to be in the light.
Yes, fellowship with God takes place in the light. It never takes place in the darkness. And by the way, I grew up in an alcoholic family, so before I was 20, I had been in lots and lots and lots of bars. When you would go into a bar, I would go into a bar with my dad. what I would find is, even if it was 11 in the morning or noon, mm-hmm. it was dark in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to get something to eat, you couldn't hardly see the menu. It was kind of the realm of darkness. And it seems to me that's not by happenstance that bars are like that.
So verse 6 says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him, so if you're making that claim,
right,
and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So there's a lot of people who claim, I'm good with God, I'm a holy person, I'm very spiritual, but then they betray that in the way that they live.
Exactly. I mean, we all know stories of pastors who've been like this, who had some secret life, and they were walking in the darkness, but yet they were standing up and proclaiming God's word. And when it finally came out that they were walking in darkness, well, it was a major calamity. And this has happened many times in the course of church history. And it's not just true of pastors, but it's true of all of us. If we are walking in the darkness, then we are not in fellowship with God. We can affirm all we want. I'm in fellowship with God. I'm in harmony with God. But if I'm walking in the darkness, I am not in fellowship with God. Now, John here is not giving us examples. He doesn't say, well, walking in the darkness would be having a mistress on the side. Walking in the darkness would be stealing money from your employer. Or walking in the darkness would be...
supporting the Cowboys.
No, wait a minute. That's okay. Supporting the Eagles would be walking in the darkness.
Hypothetically.
No, we love people in Philadelphia. If you're listening in Philadelphia, we love the Eagles.
Well, so it's possible, I think he's saying that, one, it's not automatic that you're going to walk in the light. That's not automatic. It's
right. Possible
for a believer to be walking in the darkness.
And it's possible for a believer to walk in the darkness and yet say he's walking in the light.
Right.
Say he's in fellowship with God. And if so, that's our first false claim, verse 6.
Okay. Verse 7, but if, notice that's conditional.
Right.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
This is a beautiful verse. Now, it seems to me when he says, if we walk in the light, he's not talking primarily about a life of obedience, although this will result in obedience over time. Walking in the light is walking in the sphere where God's truth is revealed. So ultimately, walking in the light is someone who is hearing God's word proclaimed week in and week out in the local church, in a solid Bible-teaching church, and they're living in light of the truth that they're hearing in church. And that would be walking in the light. Walking in the darkness would be a person who shut themselves off from God's revelation and instead was following a worldly path. Hypothetically, a person could be very religious and yet walking in the darkness. A person could be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or even a quote-unquote Christian if they're following legalistic work salvation practices. Well, then they would be walking in darkness even though their intentions are good.
So let's be clear about that. If your church, let's say your church has a lot of rules and regulations. You need short hair, you can't have a beard, you have to wear a three-piece suit, you have to have skirts below your knees, you can't listen to this type of music, you have to... No wire-rim glasses or whatever it is, no tattoos, or you can't listen to Chuck Berry or something like that. Can't watch sports. Because that's ungodly some churches teach it.
Oh, I don't know.
But let's say a church taught that and you followed to the best of your ability all of those rules. You're saying you might still be walking in darkness at that point because that's not God's truth that you're walking in.
Exactly. In fact, you might even be thinking I'm better than all these other people because I'm not doing this, that, and the other. And yet this, that, and the other may not be forbidden in Scripture.
Right.
We may just have set up some rules that make us feel better about ourselves. And sadly, a lot of these people think somehow that by doing that, they're going to work their way into heaven.
Right. And so there's a danger here. Obeying Christ is very important. Growing in spiritual maturity is very important. We're going to talk about that over this series. But there is a way of going about the Christian life that is very legalistic. And there is a way that a lot of churches teach this, that in order to be saved, you need to obey all of these commandments. That's not what John is talking about here, because in John's gospel, he is very clear. There's only one condition to be born again, and that is to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Being born again is completely non-legalistic. But here's what's equally important. Living the Christian life is also non-legalistic.
That's exactly right. And notice the end of verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want ongoing fellowship with God? We call this fellowship forgiveness. But it's conditional, as you pointed out. If we walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin.
And that will probably be a new idea to most people, because a lot of people will think that the moment they believe in Jesus, they're forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. There is a sense positionally where that's true, but there is this other kind of forgiveness.
Exactly. Verse 7 is looking at what we call fellowship forgiveness. In order to be in fellowship with God, we must be walking in the light. And as we're going to see in verse 9, we must confess our sins as well.
Well, I think we're going to have to save the rest of this passage for next episode. But Bob, what would you say from this, what we've just discussed today, is maybe the first principle of fellowship with God?
The first principle of fellowship with God is that since God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, in order for us to be in fellowship with him, we must walk in the light. We cannot walk in darkness and be in fellowship with God. So that means that God's word needs to take up residence in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, so that we begin to see the world through his light, through his revelation.
Well, Bob, thank you very much for that thought. Please tune in tomorrow as we continue this series in the Epistles of John. And if you want to hear our previous episodes, go to faithalone.org and look up our radio page, and you can hear every single episode that we've recorded at our website, faithalone.org. See you next time.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great discussion on what fellowship is all about. Maybe you'd like to learn more about fellowship with God or other topics that you've heard on our broadcast. If that's the case, I'm going to encourage you to go to faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources that I think you could really benefit from. We've got videos, podcasts, blog posts. You can even find out about upcoming events that we've got going on all around the country. I think you could really grow by getting plugged in there. You might even feel led to give a tax-deductible gift to the ministry to help us continue the work that we're doing. If so, we would so much appreciate that. Hey, and by the way, we really love to hear from listeners just like you. I'm going to give you our email address so that if you have comments or questions, you can reach out to us. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to continue to talk about the principles of fellowship as we continue this series in 1 John. So tune in tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.